God can use you. Nothing you go through, nothing you've been through, nothing you're struggling with even right now is bigger than who God is.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the More Purpose Podcast.
We talk everything from faith to finances.
I'm your host, Clarence.
And your co-host, Marlon.
And we are back with another video once again.
Yes, sir.
Got the vibes in the back and cool little lighted.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Ron.
Back
shout
in
out,
the studio.
Shout out to our guy.
Shout
back
out
in the
Ron,
studio again.
RG3.
Hey, man with a plan.
The GOAT. The man. You don't see him on camera, but just know he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. That's all.
All this is because of him. Not gonna lie to you. But today we have another special episode. Today we are talking from the topic of God can use anyone.
Yeah.
So that means you.
Yeah.
You who feel like you can't be used by God, God can use you. Mm-hmm. And we have the facts to prove it because we're living examples.
Yes.
We thought the same as that thing. I didn't feel qualified. He didn't feel qualified.
Listen.
And God still qualified us along the way.
We just had a whole conversation. We was just in here joking. I said, listen, I was chief sinner. I was leading the scoring board with sin.
Head honcho. Head honcho. No.
Nah, for real. Like, listen, if he can use us, he can use you.
Facts.
So, yeah. And
it's really a beautiful thing because we don't realize that in our sin or in our mess ups or trauma, past mm-hmm. mistakes, whatever it is, insecurities, fear, God can use that for his glory.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to talk about today. Hope you're taking notes out. Get your pen and paper. Get your popcorn. Mm-hmm. All that because for the person that doesn't feel qualified, this episode might be the episode you need to take that leap of faith and to follow what God's actually called you to do. And you know what he's been calling you to do. Yeah.
So don't click off. Ain't no time to click off now. Don't get scared. It's going to convict your heart because your sin, your insecurities, all these different things are not excuses or passes for you not to walk in what God has called you to walk into. And we also always talk about how when we get to heaven, you want to go to heaven empty. You don't want to get to heaven and God's like, this was your potential. This is all that I had for you to do. But you was in your own way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this is the episode for you. And it's going to bless us as well. So, yeah.
Nah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then for those that already have been blessed by that just that whole first part, go ahead and like the video now.
Yeah, go ahead and like it.
Go ahead and like it now.
Send to a friend now.
Share it to somebody because we're trying to tell you, we're about to try to give you what we know from experience.
Yeah.
And then if you don't believe our own experience, we're going to give y'all biblical facts to back it up.
Yes, sir.
As always.
Let's do it.
So I want to tell y'all how with me, I was one of those that felt like I couldn't be used by God because what God was calling me to do, which was speak and basically be in the forefront, I was like, God, you have the wrong person. Y'all know the story. For those that have been here for a minute, but for those that don't know, I used to have a fear of public speaking. I used to have a fear of being in front of people talking because I talk fast, I stutter. And growing up, my mom used to always check me about talking fast. She'd be like, see, I'll slow down. And it would irritate me because like, bro, I said what I said, like, hear me, like, speed your mind up. listen to what I said.
Speed your mind up is crazy.
But in knowing that, it's like, yo, if God can use someone that was scared of public speaking, them been on public stages and messed up on public stages in front of thousands of people and everything, to be able to still talk and to be able to touch other people's lives, then he can use anybody.
Yeah.
If God can use me, he can use you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think that's possible, okay, cool. I got you.
Get right into it.
I found this on the internet, right? It sounds weird saying I found this on the internet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Biblical facts, though.
Yeah.
God qualifies the unqualified. It says, there are many reasons why God should never use us, but he does anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Moses stuttered and was a murderer. Miriam was a gossip. John Mark was rejected by Paul. David had an affair. Solomon was filthy rich. Jesus was poor. Gideon and Thomas were doubters. Elijah was suicidal. Martha was a warrior. Noah got drunk. Jeremiah was too young. Abraham was too old. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. Yet God used them all. God qualifies the unqualified. It is not God who disqualifies us. Then who is it? And the answer to that question is we disqualify ourselves.
Yeah.
We will idolize the fear or the insecurity more than what God is actually telling us to do.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So with me, I used to idolize the fear. I would let the fear overpower God's voice.
Yeah.
And that would make basically in a way, you're letting your fear, your insecurity keep you from walking in obedience.
Yeah.
And you don't ever want to walk in disobedience with God, bro. Like, you want to walk in obedience. You want to try to respond to God's voice the first time if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it was just so relatable to me because for me, since I was one of those that had the stuttering problem or talking fast and still growing through that and everything, I could see the growth. It was one of those reminders that God will qualify you along the way if he calls you. So back then, like us now, like me, how I talk now compared to when we first started, drastic change, and it's living proof that God will qualify you along the way.
And I think that this is the problem. And I think you probably came to realization to this as well without really knowing that you did. I think the problem is when God calls us to do anything, we oftentimes put ourselves in the equation, mm-hmm. which will never add up.
It won't.
So it's like we plug ourselves in, and God, when he calls us to do something, he wants us to know that he's the one that's really going to be taking our place, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So meaning Moses, for example, the first thing Moses said, he said when God told him, look, go, I'm sending you to let my people go from Pharaoh out of Egypt. The first thing Moses says is, who am I? That's the problem. It's because we look at ourselves a certain way. And so we just see ourselves as, I'm just Marlon. You see yourselves as, I'm just CL. How are you just sending CL? And God's like, yeah, you're CL with a big God. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not just sending CL. I'm sending CL with God. You know what I'm saying? And what, like Dad always says, me plus God is majority every single time. So I think that's the first problem, is that we see ourselves and we don't see God. Because I always say anything that God calls us to, he will give us the grace for. And that's been like what's been resonating in my head. Anything he calls me to, he gives me the grace for. And that relieves me of a lot of fear. And that goes for anybody. If God called me to start this, he's going to give me the grace to do it. What is the grace? The unmerited favor, the ability, him putting his charisma on me, him putting that, the anointing on me, right? To do it, to make it look easy. Doesn't mean it will be easy, but to make it look easy, right? So anything that God calls you to, he will give you the grace for. So I think first and foremost is kind of just taking ourselves out of the equation and stop seeing ourselves as the one that we have to figure it out on our own.
Yeah.
We have to make the plan on our own. We have to come up with the vision on our own. And God's looking at you like, I called you to it. I'm going to give you the directions. If I called you to go there, I'm not gonna say go there and I'm not give you the directions, right? I'm going to give you the directions. I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to teach you even how to do it. I'm going to teach you how to become that person that I've called you to be. You're not on your own. So realizing that anything that he calls you to do, you have help. You have help. And that's why when Moses said, who am I? God's like, bro, who made your mouth?
Yeah, like, who made you?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure God was a little offended in a way. I think, and it's so good because I think God is sometimes offended at us when we come up with these excuses. And he's like, yo, I didn't ask you to try to figure all that out.
I called you.
All I said was go.
Take the step.
All I said was go. If he don't give me no other direction, that means the rest is on his tab.
Yeah.
The rest is on him. Listen, he's going to figure that stuff out. I'm just responsible for the direction that he gave me. You know?
It's even crazier because in Exodus, Moses pleaded so much with God.
Yeah.
We overlook God's grace that he gave with Moses too, because while God continues to call Moses and say, I choose you to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and everything, Moses is still letting his insecurities outweigh what God is saying to him.
Yes.
To the point where God said, okay, all right. You want to keep pleading like that? Okay, cool. You have no excuse now. I'm gonna send Aaron. I'm gonna give you a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So the reason you keep saying you can't talk, cool. Yeah. Now I'm about to give you someone that can talk for you. There's no excuse now. Now go. Now leave. And that's still grace, because God still wants to use Moses.
Yeah.
And I feel like that also shows his love, because he loves us so much that he knows that we're afraid. He knows that we feel insecure about certain things and everything. So in a way, God found an audible to still use Moses in the way to where he will build the confidence along the way to be able to actually use his voice.
Yes.
And it was crazy because I never realized, like, bro, when reading Exodus, I've been rereading and everything, when reading Exodus, I was like, bro, I didn't know that Aaron was the one using the staff at the first, like, in the first half of everything. Like, God was saying, Moses, tell Aaron, use your staff.
Yes.
I was like, hold on, I thought Moses was using the staff every time. They said, no, Aaron was using the staff at first until Moses found the courage what's it called? The courage and the confidence to actually do it instead.
Yeah.
So after Aaron used it a couple of times, then Moses started using the staff to do the miracles and everything like that.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, that's crazy, because I never really peeped that. I never noticed that. But it's just so crazy how God is just so gracious and loving that he will even send people to help us do the calling that he has called us to do.
Yeah.
And I love how in Ephesians 4, I have the Every Man's Bible for the men that want to get this Bible. I love this Bible. I have the NLT version. It has like a commentary at the bottom. At the bottom for Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, it says, Moses may have had a speech impediment, but that wasn't a legitimate excuse for not following God's plan.
Yeah.
He didn't have an accurate perception of who he could become with God's help. I'm going to say that part again. He didn't have an accurate perception of who he could become with God's help.
Yeah.
While Moses was engaging in all kinds of self-examination, he was doing so with a negative, fearful attitude. He was not yet willing to be changed by God. Our weaknesses should never be an excuse to avoid spiritual renewal. With God's help, anything is possible. We need to realize that God can capitalize on our strengths, helping us reach our full potential.
So technically, because what I'm hearing, And now it makes sense, like, now that we're, like, talking about it out loud. And again, for those that are watching, me and CL, like, we just be having conversations up here. So everything is, like, it convicts us, too, as we even speaking, because we really go through this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not talking to you guys about anything that we're not going through or have been through. And something I'm realizing is that the excuses we have, now that I'm getting the clarity, God is offended, is because we're basically saying that problem is bigger than God.
Bro, VeggieTales said it best. He's big, but God's bigger.
Yeah, like.
He's big, but God's bigger.
Like. Moses, the whole, like, you're complaining about the speech impediment. You're basically saying God can't fix, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, in a way,
I have a speech impediment. God, you can't fix that.
God, the way you made me,
the way you made me, the way you made me can't be used. And God's like, bro, what?
Like, I made you.
I already knew you. Bro, when I asked you to do what you did, I already took that into account.
Like, come on now. Why do you think I'm choosing you?
When I asked you to start that, I already had that in account.
Would I get the glory if you was a good speaker?
No. Not in Moses, and not in his case. Not at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because Moses had to depend on him fully.
Yes.
Because that area that you're weak in, that was the moment for God to be strong in, right? Mm-hmm. And Moses, and it's a trust issue. The whole thing, everything in our relationship with God, and I'm realizing that now as well, goes back to trust. Like,
yes.
Like me bringing for that excuse up is trust. I don't trust you enough. I don't trust you enough to grace me to do what you called me to do. I don't trust you enough to provide me with the finances to start that business. I don't trust you enough to give me the resources when you told me go do a thing blindly. I don't trust you enough when you told me to move and I don't know what job I'm going to get. I don't trust you enough, right? And that's the main problem. We don't trust God enough. And we kind of, a lot of times we don't trust ourselves. And then we always talk about to find yourself, you got to find God and stuff like that. So,
but I also feel like the lack of trust in God is the lack of us knowing who he is.
Yeah.
So, in that aspect, again, you won't know who you are in Christ until you know Christ, until you read your word, until you're in intimate relationship with him. And in those times where you're letting insecurities and fear, doubt, whatever it is, block you from hearing God's voice or moving in the path that God wants you to move on, you're forgetting that God made you in his image.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people overlook that. Like, God said he made me in his image. Mm-hmm. Why am I letting this insecurity hold so much weight in my life or hold so much space in my thoughts, in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in his image, I'm made perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
Perfectly imperfect. So if God has called me to do it, he's going to be able to qualify me along the way. Simple as that. If God, again, we brought it up again before in The Chosen, Matthew was saying he didn't, because Matthew in The Chosen, he was like a little like nervous and everything. Mm-hmm. He was like, I don't see why Jesus like will call me.
Yeah.
And he was saying, and Philip was telling him, he was like, if Jesus called you, that means you have everything you need right now.
Yeah.
You have everything you need right now. So if God called you, everything that you have right now, the way you talk, the way you walk, the things you have, whatever it is, your energy, your spirit, all that, you have everything you need right now. And along the way, as long as you keep taking the steps, God's going to add on.
Yes.
He's going to add on and take off. Whatever you got to add on and take off, he's going to do it.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we allow that fear of what we don't have, we allow that to get in the way of us experiencing God in a new way, if that makes sense. Like, if you would just sit down, look at your weaknesses, you'll see that God is trying to express himself to you in a new way that you haven't seen him before. So a lot of times we block ourselves from miracles.
Breakthroughs,
all of that, because we're trying to map it out in our heads. We're trying to figure out how it's going to be done. Our dad always says something that stuck with me is that he says the how belongs to God. And that really frees me. Like, when God tells me to do something, like, well, how am I going to do it? I'm like, never mind.
Yeah.
That's up to God. That's on God. Like, he's going to give me the vision. Not saying, because faith without works is dead, of course. But I'm saying when God calls you to do something, he's going to give you the vision. He's going to give you the roadmap. He's going to give you the direction and different things like that you need. But in my case of just walking in God's calling for my life and different things like that, I think my fear mainly, it wasn't an excuse of not talking or speaking or anything like that. My case was more so, God, can you use me with all of my dirt? Can you use me? And something I just came to realize is that sometimes we'd be like, God, use somebody else. But then I came to realize that the whole pool of people that God can choose from is all imperfect people.
Literally, nobody's perfect.
The whole pool of people on this earth that God can use, 100 out of 100, every single person is imperfect.
Everybody has a skeleton in their closet.
So I'm just telling God, move on to the next imperfect person. When God's like, no, I want this imperfect person. You know what I'm saying? So
I want you. That's
what I had to realize, that Jesus was the only perfect one.
Yeah.
He was the only perfect one. So God has already factored in all of this. Why does God use imperfect people? It's because he knows that if we put that same energy that we put into sinning, that same energy that we put into lust, that same energy that we put into drinking, that same energy that we put into fighting people and being so passionate, that same energy that we put into being bold about other things in the world, He's like, bro, if you convert that to over here,
yeah,
like, bro, you could put in some real work. You know what I'm saying? Some work that will last. Some work that will benefit you in this life and in the next one. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think I had to realize that my dirt was not too big for God.
Yeah.
And I had to realize that God already seen all of that when he called me. God was there when you were sinning.
Yeah, like, he seen everything.
I don't know if it was Aunt Benita or Pastor Jeff. Everything. I think it was Aunt Benita. My Aunt Benita go say, he's like, you in the room doing the Duke. God was there. Like, yeah. I was like, hold on, pause. I don't want God to be there.
Yeah, like, sir.
But that's the kind, like, he's everywhere. Now, he really knows everywhere. Like, every single thing you've done. So just realizing that when God calls you, he can clean you up. And a lot of times we think that God, when he calls us, he's like, get it all together, like, at once. Mm-hmm. That was another one of my fears. It's like, yeah. God, I don't want to do this podcast. Yeah. We were just talking about this too. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this podcast. I don't want to do Bible study. And I can say this transparently, my life was not all together yet. I'm going to say it again, because people won't tell you the real. We, like, bro, More Purpose Podcast, this is for the real, no chaser. We pride ourselves on that, right?
We're going to be transparent about everything, bro.
It was points where we started this podcast, we was not all in. Like, we wasn't all, when we started it, it was just like, God said, do it. We're still wrestling, like, yo, like
to this day,
one foot in the world, like, one foot at, like, we're not perfect now still. We still struggle with different things. God's
still knocking teeth out of our mouth for different things to this day.
But it was for me, it was a real fear of, like, I can't do that yet. Because, I'm about to say, I'm outside. Yeah. Like, I'm outside. Something that Pastor Jeff said that really stuck with me is that he said he was messing with this girl before he was married. He's messing with this girl when he was younger. And he got called to do Bible study. And
right after,
He slept with the girl or whatever. And then right after, at Bible study, he went and preached about holiness. And the girl was looking at him like, oh, is that right?
Oh, you're holy.
And I'm like, dang, bro, I feel that.
Yeah,
like,
you know, that's real. That's real.
That's real. It's real. And so, like, for a long time, my fear was like, God, I can't be your mouthpiece right now, because listen, I'm having fun in my sin. I'm having fun right now.
I'm not ready to stop sinning.
I'm not ready to stop. And I allowed that to be my excuse for a long time, until I started realizing that the more I kept doing it, the more I kept saying yes, start breaking stuff off. The more I kept saying yes, shedding stuff off, cleaning me up, sanctifying me, purifying me. Like, and it's just a crazy process to witness. Yeah. But yeah, again, that is not when God calls you to do something, the stuff that you think is, like, going to hold you back, that's not a pass or excuse for you not to do what God has called you to do, because it will still be disobedience. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But God is the one that cleans you up. God is the one that purifies you. He's the one that will continue to make you a reflection of himself.
And it's all about your heart posture.
All about your heart posture. Because, again, I want y'all to take that out of context. Exactly. I had a heart to serve God. But when he, and this is one thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The calling of God is never at your convenience.
At all.
It's never at your convenience. So there will be times, like I just said, where God calls you and you're like, hold on, God, like, listen, I'm having fun. I don't want to come out of this mess. I don't want to stop going there. That's what I felt. It was like, well, I do this Christian podcast now. I got to stop doing this. I can't go down there no more. I can't do this no more. I can't be seen like over here no more. It never comes at your convenience.
You ever see somebody call the phone and you look at the name and be like, I don't really feel like answering right now.
I don't feel like answering right now. I'll call you back later.
I don't feel like answering right now.
Yeah.
But in that's us still assuming that we can have later, that we can have it tomorrow, which is that's not the case. It's
God's
not guaranteed.
Like, no. God's like, no, I need you now
today.
And on that context, we just did Bible study on Saul.
Yeah.
And most of us, we know Saul, or others, most know him as Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. He's wrote so many great books in the New Testament. But what most people don't know is that his name was Saul, and that he was a persecutor of Christians. He killed Christians. Mm-hmm. His encounter didn't come at his convenience. How didn't it? He was literally on the road to Damascus going to send more Christians to jail. He was going to persecute. He's on the way. So
that boy was getting them all. He was rounding them all up.
He's on the road, on the way to persecute more Christians. A light shines on him, knocks him down to the floor. It's like, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's God's voice. God is speaking to this man. This man is persecuting Christians. He hates them. He's like, why are you persecuting me? He tells him, get up, go into the city, and I'm going to give you your next direction. Saul gets up. He's blind, can't see, goes to the city, ends up being healed, regains his sight back, had this whole encounter with God. And now, as soon as right after that happened, start preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. So this same man that was killing Christians, yours might not be killing. He was killing Christians. God used this same man to go and preach the gospel, then write 2/3 of the New Testament. And I had said something on Monday. I was like, for us, because we look at ourselves, we see ourselves. So you may be saying, like, well, When I look at myself, I think addiction. When I look at myself, I think fearful. When I look at myself, I think lustful. When I look at myself, I see adulterer. Like all of those different things that you label yourself. It's like God didn't see Paul or Saul as a murderer or a persecutor. Mm-hmm. When God saw him, he saw 2/3 of the Old Testament.
Exactly.
When God saw him, he saw apostle. He like before you was formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Mm-hmm. And I love that about God, that he never speaks to where we are right now, but to where we're going. You know what I'm saying? So you may be going through what you're going through right now. You may be struggling. You may be addicted. You may be on that fence of like trying to wrestle and trying to fully submit your life to Christ, and God keeps calling you like, you're one of mine, because he knows that when you see yourself how he sees you, that's when your life will change. That's when your life will change. But I am God's child. You know what I'm saying? Now I can start conducting myself a certain way. And I think a lot of times that was my problem as well, is that I didn't see myself the way God saw me. And it's identity issue.
Yeah. But it's crazy because it's a lot of, as humans, sometimes it is hard for us to look past where we are right now in the present.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Bible says, matter of fact, yeah, at the same time, we have to understand who we are in Christ. And that, like you said, God knows the ending of the book. He's the author. He's writing every chapter. He knows that, he knows exactly what's about to come next, what Papa's about to happen, what obstacles, what things we have to go through to get to where he wants us to get to. We have to be able to try and like just be obedient and be willing to walk and trust that God's going to lead us on the right path.
Yeah.
Because he knows all. Who am I to question what God's telling me to do when he has my best interest?
Yeah.
If I make God's business, my business, he's going to make his. If I make God's business my business, he's going to make my business his business.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So whatever I have going on, whatever it is that God's calling me to do, I have to have the trust that he's going to take care of me.
Yes.
Even if I don't feel like doing it, even if I can't see it from the perspective that God may have it in, or I may not feel qualified, I know that along the way, God will add on and he will do the impossible.
Yeah.
Like, same thing with Mary. She, in the Bible, she was possessed by demons and everything. Jesus freed her. Yeah. And now she's one of the main people that's praying for different people all throughout the Bible and everything. It's like, bro, anybody can be used.
Yeah.
You was possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're praying for people.
Yeah.
Help people out and everything. That thing is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Saul, you top op.
Yeah.
You playing Call of Duty in real life.
Yeah, listen.
Getting out of
Christians,
here.
Christians, yeah.
Killing Christians, like killing God's people in real life. And God still chose to use you. And you basically Christ's number one ambassador in the way.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
That's
like,
crazy. Like, it's crazy how, we was talking about this before. I was, in Bible study, I was saying how, it's crazy how fast God can flip the switch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your light can be off. And then whenever God is ready to, he'll cut your light on.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have to be able to shine our light regardless of who's around, regardless of what the old associates or old friends may think, regardless of our old past mistakes, whatever it is, we have to be able to shine regardless.
Yeah.
Because speaking from experience, same boat.
Mm-hmm.
We was in positions where we'll be doing the podcast, we may slip or whatever, and then we won't feel like posting or anything because it's like, yo, guy, I don't feel qualified right now. Like, I slipped up, I messed up, whatever it is. And it's like, no, you're still, I still qualified you.
Yeah.
Like, I still qualified you. You came to me with a pure heart, you repented, this and that. I still qualified you. It's my business still has to get done.
Yeah.
In a way, we can't let our fear, our slip up, our trauma, our damage, whatever it is, be the number one priority of why we're not still pushing God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Be the number one priority of why we're not, or the number one problem of why we're not advancing in the way that we need to advance.
Yeah.
Because there's so many voices that are counting on us.
Mm-hmm.
That to continue to do what we're doing, to continue to do God's business. And if we're not doing it, God's going to have to find someone else.
Yeah.
And just like that, he's going to find someone else. I'm not going to lie to you. That's why, bro, you ever heard the saying of like how people be like, God told me to do this, but I waited so long and then he ended up using someone else to do it?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, like if God's choosing you, he's choosing you for a reason.
Yes.
But don't think that you're just like expendable. Like you're not, that you're invincible or anything, that God can't pick nobody else.
Yeah.
I'm not trusting him.
God wants you. He doesn't need you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's an honor to even be wanted.
Yes, like, to be wanted.
To be a wanted.
He don't need you. I said that in Bible study too. Like, God is God. So God technically doesn't need people. God can literally, he can make, he is everything, but he loves us so much to use people. Like, he uses people in the earth to even bless other people. Like, if God wanted to, he can allow $100 to be on the floor right there. But instead, he'll send somebody in to bless you or something like that. Like, God wants to use people because it's a partnership. He wants to partner with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Like, imagine, like, my fan Acts 9, when Saul basically got converted to Christ and everything, mm-hmm. and started fully on serving God and everything.
Yeah.
His old associates that he used to kill Christians with mm-hmm. was basically like trying to cut his water off. They was like, yeah. bro, they was like, nah, we're not banging with that. Like,
and because weren't you just doing this?
You was just doing this yesterday.
Yeah. And that's why I think as well, we need to pray for like boldness.
Yeah.
We need to pray for boldness because what will happen is when you give your life to Christ, you will allow what other people think about you hinder you from doing what God has told you to yeah. do, because you like now you want validation. Now you're wondering, mm-hmm. okay, well, the people I used to hang out with, what are they thinking mm-hmm. then? Or the people I used to do this and that with, like, what are they thinking now about me preaching the gospel and stuff like that? And God's looking at you like, yo, I'm the only one that validates you.
Yeah.
I'm the only person that you need to be like, taking into account. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. you need to be worried about what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. You're worried about, this is crazy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're worried about what they would think if you did it. What will I think if you didn't do it? That's what God is saying.
Facts.
You're worried about what other people would think if you did it. If I did the podcast, if I did the Bible study, if I preached the gospel, if I posted the scripture, what would I think?
You're worried
about
God, the creation.
This is God.
You worry about the creation, not
and
the
not
creator.
The creator. Mm-hmm. What would I think if you didn't do it?
It's crazy.
Whose judgment do you want to be in? Whose hands do you want to be in at the end of the day?
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I don't want to be in his wrath. I don't want to be in his wrath. Y'all can talk about me now. I'd rather y'all talk about me now.
And he's
up there smiling and clapping for me when I get there. I don't want it to be the other way around where y'all are smiling for me and clapping for me here, and then he's upset with me.
They turn your way right to hell.
Yes, because the same people that cry out Hosanna, Hosanna, is the same people that crucified him.
Mm-hmm.
So their clap doesn't mean anything. Their clap doesn't mean anything.
It don't mean anything at all.
People are going to be people. God is going to be God.
Yes.
People change. God does not. So the same people that praise you, the same people that can put you on this pedestal, the same people that can say, go more purpose, are the same ones that will crucify you.
2 seconds.
They will crucify. We've seen it with Jesus himself. So whose validation do you really want?
And it's crazy, bro, because like as Christians, especially the church, we have to do better at not holding someone's past against them to where we feel like they can't be qualified to do what God's calling them to do. Because in a way, as humans, we'll start using our own personal feelings of, I don't think they're fit for that spot. Yeah. I don't think they're qualified to do that. Or what we know about a person, what they did yesterday, this morning, whatever it is, to basically hold like a cloud over their head of, nah, they're not fit for that job. Next thing you know, now you're basically sowing discord in a way mm-hmm. because you're trying to let everybody else know, or you're more so not letting God use you in a way to let them be used by him too. Like, you're not allowing like people to be able to pray for him, or mm-hmm. you don't want to pray for him. When, like, God, like, God sent you to pray for somebody on the altar, but you look like, I'm not praying for them. They just did this yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you're holding, like, you're basically potentially holding somebody from actually doing what God's called them to do or getting the breakthrough that they need mm-hmm. or to be qualified along the way.
Yeah.
Like, we have to be, do better as Christians. We have to do better as a church to basically, even if we know someone did something, that they slip up, whatever mm-hmm. it is, we have to do better as praying for them, encouraging them, and letting them know this is not the end. Like, you're good.
And we're not talking about holding people accountable. We're not saying people need accountability. So we're not talking about, let people just sin. No, that's not what we're saying, because I know somebody's going to try to misconstrue that message. No, we are for accountability.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying it's an order and it's a way to go about things. Like, pray for your brother or sister. If mm-hmm. I think it says in James, if one of your brothers or sisters is overcome by sin, mm-hmm. be watchful and pray for them so that you are not overtaken by the same sin. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing now that people that do not have grace for other people is because they don't recognize the grace that they are living off of every day. I tell people all the time, I only can give grace to you. It's because I recognize right now in this moment, I need grace from God right now. And that's why, what's the story where they was about to kill the lady that was caught in adultery?
Yeah.
And he said, God literally came down. He said, he without sin throw the first stone.
Let me know. I'll wait.
Bro, they caught her. Like, she's in the act. Like, they caught her. She was guilty. That's the good part.
Yeah.
She was guilty. It wasn't a rumor. She was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to stone her. He said, yeah. Okay, because y'all want to condemn her so bad. Because I love what my dad always says. He says, people don't have a hell or heaven to put you in. That's the good part about it. I love that. I love it every time he says it. People can't put you in a heaven or hell. You don't have to.
You have no authority.
You don't have to like, you can't put me in a heaven or hell. You probably got one in your mind.
Yeah.
You can have one in your mind, but you can't put me in a real one, right? Man said, he without sin, you cast the first stone. Go ahead, throw it.
Let me know.
If you ain't got sin,
throw some.
You know what I'm saying? So, and back to the context of Paul and Saul, it's inevitable. I want y'all to understand this. As a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, it's inevitable to have those people. Like, there's no way around it. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's mm-hmm. not going to like what you are doing. Everybody's not going to be for living your life for Christ. So it's inevitable. You can't avoid that. But what I am saying is you have to take your attention off of that. Because if you don't, you will allow that to be a stumbling block or a hindrance mm-hmm. from you freely walking in who God's called you to be because you're thinking about, oh, what do other people think about me?
Bro, that's really crazy because when people understand, like you said, if I'm truly in relationship with God, if I truly claim to have the fruits of the Spirit, if I truly claim to love others as I want to be treated, why are humans or Christians so fast to basically throw stones?
Mm-hmm.
Why, especially on social media,
yeah,
be the first people to throw stones
mm-hmm.
in the church judging out the gate? But it's like, bro, you judging could be prohibiting them getting their deliverance.
That's that same mouth that gossips, that same mouth that judges, is that same mouth that can pray. I'm going to say it again. That same mouth that judges, that same mouth that gossips, is that same mouth that can pray. And we put energy into gossip. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about you on Shade Room. Not even just Christians. Like, this is not just Christians. Anybody. This is anybody in the world. Because we don't realize that we observe mm-hmm. so much of this stuff. Like, with social media, we have too much. We have other people's business mm-hmm. in our view too much. Like, too much of their
business.
Too much of other people's business. Like, it's like overstepping, mm-hmm. oversharing. Like, you ever see something on social media like, I would have been fine if I didn't know that.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't ask for that.
That should not be on social media. I don't want to know how much you're paying in child support. I don't personally. I don't care.
Yeah,
That's between y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that same mouth that rises in judgment, that same mouth that can condemn and those different things could be used for prayer. And it's a hard intent.
But that's the biggest thing, though. It's like, if you're not praying for me, you have no room to speak on me.
Yeah.
So what was that?
Yeah.
Like, prime example, because this is one of the things where, I look, you get bothered by it sometimes because, like, we had Michael Todd on the podcast and everything, and a lot of people be talking about Mike Todd, but a lot of people are not praying for him at the same time. Yeah. It's like, that could be anybody. A lot of people can throw stones, talk about this person not doing this person doing that, false teacher, false prophet, whatever it is, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, if you're throwing that stone, if you're just putting that in the air, are you make sure you're doing the work behind the scenes to make sure that you're praying for that person?
Yeah.
Make sure that God's actually going to reveal to them what they're doing wrong or what you see that they're doing wrong.
Yeah, I think it's a verse in the Bible. I don't know the exact verse, but I know it's in there for sure. I think it said, the measure of judgment that you pour out to other people, you will be judged by.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The same measure it might be. Yeah. I don't remember. The same judgment that you, I'm saying it in layman's terms. This is not word for word, but that's what the moral of the story is.
Yeah.
It said, the measure of judgment that you spew out to other people, you will be judged by.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Bro.
Because you think you're holding other people to a standard when in reality you're pointing the finger back at yourself. And I wanna add context as well, because in the story of Paul and them, as soon as Paul had his encounter, it said immediately he went out and preached the gospel.
Immediately.
Immediately. Like, that's crazy. The boldness that he had, the courage that he had to go do that. And the crazy part about it is, it said after a few things down, after Paul started preaching the gospel, those Jews that did not like him were plotting to kill him. It said, this is Acts chapter 9. You got to read the story. It's a lot of context in the story. The same people that you were hanging around, the same people that you believed in the same thing as them, the same people that you was rolling with, the same people that you was persecuting people with, now these people are trying to kill, they're plotting to kill him. So when you give your life to Christ, when you start walking in your call, when you start to fully surrender to what God has called you to do, there will be opposition.
What?
We see it in Jesus' life.
Commentary again from our Every Man's Bible. Acts chapter 9, verses 20-25. Saul quickly joined the Christians in Damascus and began to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In this way, he demonstrated that his transformation was real. Both Jews and Christians were astounded at the changes in Saul. The Jews quickly turned against him and sought to kill him, but his new Christian friends helped him escape. We also may experience opposition from our old associates when we surrender our lives to God and begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They may begin to feel guilty about their own sins, or they may be afraid they are about to lose our friendship. Whatever the reason, they may try to thwart our spiritual growth. This is where our development of relationships with other believers takes an essential role, protecting and guiding us through these difficult times.
Let me read this real quick. You just sparked something. Holy Spirit just gave to me, right? Because this is how you combat people that talk about you and different things like that. Because, again, when Paul converted, of course there are going to be people that talk about him. This is back to Acts chapter 9. This is verse 26. Mm-hmm. It says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers. So these are Christians. He tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he had truly become a believer. They didn't believe that he truly transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 27, then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. Mm-hmm. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles. So meaning, the believers, the Christians, didn't want him around because they didn't believe he fully transformed. Yeah. One person, though, that betted on him, Barnabas, said, I know he's truly transformed. How? By the way, the way he boldly proclaimed the word of the Lord. So what am I trying to say? Holy Spirit just gave this to me. The best response is transformation.
Yeah.
The best response is transformation.
People won't see change until they won't accept change until they see change.
Yes, the best response is transformation. You don't have to clear things up. You don't have to go clear rumors up. Mm. You don't have to go explain, well, I didn't mean it that way.
Change.
Just change.
Simple as that.
Just change. That's for whoever. That's for me. Like,
yeah.
The best response is change. It's transformation. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't say that Saul went back and tried to clear things up with them. It doesn't say that Saul tried to explain himself to them. Barnabas came in and was like, no, I seen him preach the gospel boldly.
Yeah.
So, man, transform so much that somebody else can speak on your behalf.
Yeah, like, bro.
Change enough. Fully let God change your heart. Fully let God lead you into a repentance that somebody else speaks on your behalf. Like, yo, like, nah, he's not who we used to be. He doesn't even do what he used to be. He did a 180. Like,
fruit.
He did a 180. Like, Barnabas literally said, the disciples or the believers, the Christian community was like, mind you, again, context, this man was killing Christians.
Yes.
So you have to imagine, some of them are probably scared of him. They're like, yo, he's not about to come. He's listen, not rolling with us.
I don't need him around. None of my people, my friends, my family, none of that.
Public enemy. He's a threat. And Barnabas, another believer, is like, yo, no, he's valid. Yeah, like,
he's
he's a lot. Like, he just went and told the Jews off. Like, he just went and preached boldly. Like, he wasn't he wasn't ashamed.
Yeah.
He wasn't scared. Like, he went and boldly proclaimed the name of the Lord. So allow your transformation to be loud. Transformation to be loud. The transformation being loud will silence the gossip.
Mm-hmm.
The transformation being loud will silence the rumors. The transformation being loud will silence the critics. You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy because I had basically hit one of my peoples up because it was like a rumor going around about me. I was like, yo, what's going on?
Yeah.
I was like, yo, what y'all talking about, bro? Like, real talk.
Yeah.
What's going on? Because yada, 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 that never happened.
Yeah.
So then they was like, oh, no, yada, yada, yada. Won't say that. And then they started getting my flowers. They was like, actually, I'm proud of you for your growth and everything because in a way, I've seen that your lifestyle and everything has been different.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm proud of the change you've been having because in such a short time, your change has been a miles worth of change when mine's been more so like baby steps.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can see the change. You've been motivating me to change my ways too.
That's what's up.
And I was like, that's hard because like, again, like you said, you don't have to worry about nothing else because like people, they can tell by your fruit.
Yes.
Simple as that. They can tell by your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
People are watching even though you don't even think they're watching. Yeah. Like, people are paying attention to everything you're doing and people can see when you're really going full yes for God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want to tap into what's it called? Chapter 9, verses 10 through 16 for Acts. And it was saying, during Saul's intense self-examination, God sent Ananias to befriend him, pray for him, and restore his sight.
Ooh-wee.
I'm gonna say that part again.
Yeah.
God sent Ananias, another believer, to befriend him, pray for him, and restore his sight. Ananias, though, was afraid.
Yeah.
Ananias was afraid at first because he wasn't sure that Saul had really changed.
Yeah.
When he met with Saul, however, Ananias discovered that no one is too far gone for God. No one is too far gone for God.
Yeah.
By coming to help Saul, Ananias discovered an important truth. When we reach out to others and share the good news, God not only uses us to help them, he also strengthens our own faith.
Yeah, man. When I tell you, this story blessed me. Like,
that's OD.
This story blessed me so bad. Like, on all aspects. Like, every single aspect. Like, even just convicting you in a way to where... Because you know how when people do you wrong or when stuff happens, it's so easy to like, again, I'm a passionate person, so we have these conversations. It's so easy to be like, you said, like, I'm not praying for nobody. Like,
what?
God, do you know what they did?
Come on now.
But mind you, this is the same God. This is the same God that's getting spit on.
Yeah.
The same God that suffered to the point of bloodshed, to the point that he died, right? And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they did. Father, forgive them. And I'm talking about, listen, I'm not praying for nobody did me wrong. I'm not praying for nobody to talk bad about me.
Come on,
not praying for nobody that I know is gossip about me. And God's looking at you like, why not? Do you know what I had to go through?
Yeah.
You're tripping. No, look. You're tripping about rumors. You're tripping about gossip. Even about some stuff that you may even be guilty for.
Yeah.
I knew no sin.
Come on now. I still got persecuted.
I knew no sin.
Got spit on.
I did no wrong.
Did nothing wrong.
I did nothing wrong.
Did nothing wrong. Like
I dotted my I's and crossed my T's. Yet they talked about me.
Lived a blameless life.
A blameless life. So who are you? Who are you to think that you can avoid this stuff? You can avoid being talked about. You can avoid this stuff.
You can't.
Oh, yeah, God, listen. Yeah, you're right.
The man that was perfect.
Yeah.
Went through it all. Suffered through it all. How much more suffering you going to go through and you're not perfect at all?
And think about how much of God that he is, that he would die for the same people who would not, like, knowing we wouldn't choose him some days. Knowing that we go the other way. Like,
you know how much,
like,
love that you have to do that?
Bro, like, knowing. So, look, he died for us knowing some people wouldn't choose him ever.
Yeah.
And then knowing some of us wouldn't choose him till later down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like...
That's what he mean, think about it, bro. That's,
do you understand? Like, and this is why we give him praise. Like, yes. This right here. Like, this mm-hmm. is the good news of Christ. This is, like, this is the gospel right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this story is so beautiful because he mm-hmm. died for sinners.
Yeah.
Meaning the innocent man died for guilty people.
Really think about that. Don't even let that go over your heads, bro. The innocent man.
I love God, but this is so
died
good.
Died for guilty people.
The innocent man died. I don't even know how we got here, but we, bro, got. Listen, we going to preach that cross. Come
that
on now. Good.
Bro, it's crazy because for y'all that don't know, I have a tattoo on my right arm, and it's Jesus carrying the cross. And it's my reminder. It's like, bro, every day that I wake up in the morning and I go throughout my day, what did Jesus carry that cross for?
Yeah.
What did he go through everything for? What did he go through the suffering for?
Mm-hmm.
He went through all that for me.
Yeah.
Who am I to act like what he did wasn't the ultimate sacrifice?
Yeah.
Who am I to take what he did for granted?
Yeah.
Who am I to keep walking around like as if he didn't do what he did? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, nah. I'm about to live my best life to the best ability to serve you because you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I read.
You did no wrong.
I read today in Romans chapter 12.
I'm forever in debt.
Yeah, no cap. And that's what I was about to get to. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it said, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your reasonable service, or this is the right way to worship him. Mm-hmm. But it's literally saying, like, because of his mercies.
Yeah.
This Paul, this is the same man. This mm-hmm. is the same man that was a killer. That used to kill Christians. He's a persecutor. This same man is saying, yo, by the mercies of God, like, in sight of his mercies, in sight of his grace, you should present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, meaning, grace and his mercy is gifts.
Yeah.
I always say response to gifts are what? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I live this life, it needs to be a thank you life. Thank you.
Yes, grateful.
A thank you life. A thank you. God, thank you. That's my life.
You waking up in the morning.
Bro.
More than enough.
I'm telling you.
More than enough.
I'm telling you.
That thing is crazy.
Like, it is. No, it really is. It really is. And now you have context now to when you read the Bible, you don't think Paul is just talking crazy and talking out his neck, or he's just giving you, like,
He lived that life.
Like, literary terms and, like, catchy quotes and stuff. No. Paul is telling you from experience of somebody that was a Pharisee, like somebody that was a religious leader that followed the law, somebody that persecuted Christians. Now, when you read these certain scriptures that he wrote, you're like, yo, now I see why you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see why you said his grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
Like, because you were somebody that used to have everything. And now you know what it really means to fully depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it means, like, of all people.
And it's crazy because a lot of times we'll think our sin or our trauma, whatever it is so big, but it's like, Paul really was killing people.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just one person.
Yeah.
He getting people out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, getting them up out of here. Like, really, like, dogging people. Like, doing them dirty. And he's still to this, well, not to this day,
yeah,
but he still was Christ's, like, number one recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
Number one ambassador. And he spoke boldly and flipped just like that.
Yeah.
How many more of us can do the same thing?
Yeah.
And we're worried about stuff that's way smaller than actually killing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm worried about fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
That man killed multiple people and still led for Christ and did it boldly.
Yeah.
How much more boldly can I do it?
Yeah.
God, bro.
Something that I just thought of, something that I love about Moses, although he had excuses, because he does have excuses. I'm just not thinking about this right now. Although he had excuses, the difference between us and Moses, because there's a difference.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we read it and we be like, oh, Moses made excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what the difference between us and Moses is?
What?
Moses brought the excuses before God.
Yeah, he took it to God every time.
Actually, sit and think about that.
Every time. Every time.
And God just wants, he wants to know where you are in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that to me. So whatever you think is stopping you in this very moment, whatever you think that is stopping you from fully walking in your calling, whatever you think is stopping you from being used by God, bring it to him. God, I'm scared because this is the life I used to live. God, I'm scared. I'm scared to do this because my past life. God, I'm scared to do this because I feel like I'm a loose friend. Like, bro, do y'all understand that God wants you? That's the whole purpose of prayer. Prayer is humility. It's humbling yourself.
Yeah.
God wants you to come to him like a friend.
Come
to him like a father. Like, have a conversation with him and be real with him. That's what intimacy is. Like, that's why when you have a significant other, you want them to tell you how they feel. You want them to tell you, like, to be transparent with you and with their emotions and what they're going through and stuff like that. God wants you to just come to him and tell him that. Then he can hear you out and give you the solution to the problem. And Moses brought every excuse to God. Like, yo, and he told him straight up, bro, I got a speech impediment. You know what I'm saying? And so whatever your barrier is, whatever you feel like is stopping God from using you, bring it to God. Put it on the altar. Mm-hmm. Like, lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. Because I promise you, I think right now I'm coming into, like, a new revelation of how important prayer is.
Yes.
I've always prayed.
By having an actual prayer.
Yes, actual prayer, like, to where I'm praying about small stuff. Like, the smallest things.
Consulting God on everything.
Consulting God. And when I say prayer, I'm not talking about, like every prayer I pray is a 10-minute long prayer. Yeah. No, I'm talking about I'm in the car. I'm like, okay, God, I'm feeling like this. Should I do this? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, Holy Spirit, what you want me to do?
And like, and it's so crazy to realize, like, is this a conversation? Is this a dialogue?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, I love my Aunt Bonita said this the other day in our small group. It started to stuck with me. She said, and it was a smooth line. She said, God's not going to force himself on you. He's a gentleman. I said,
that boy, classy boy.
God is a... He's not gonna force himself on you. He's gonna wait until you invite him in. He's not gonna just kick your door. He's a gentleman.
I said to somebody, I was like, imagine like God sending you the door with flowers in his hands, ready to give you something.
Man.
But you're not opening the door.
Yeah. Like he just wants you to come to him. And then he's like, oh, like that's all I and sometimes we really another thing for prayer,
or
we
knock
really
on the door.
Yes, we really need to say these things out loud because sometimes God wants us to hear ourselves too. Mm-hmm.
Bro,
like
that's me all the time, bro.
I want you to.
That happens to me all the time.
God does that to me too, to where it's like, I want you to hear the excuse you're giving. I want you to hear what. Like, that's so great about
you'll
prayer.
You'll get a real life revelation right there.
Yes, you'd be like, hold on, what did I? Ooh. I just said I'm scared of this. I said I'm scared to lose friends. And like, oh, now I know what to pray for.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so why? What you do is you ask yourself questions. Mm-hmm. Why am I scared to lose friends?
Mm-hmm.
Why, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do I not trust God in this specific area?
Mm-hmm.
And then you will start to see you can be more effective in your life, more effective in your prayer life, more effective in your walk with God. Yeah.
That's so good. And another prime example as well is Jonah. Like, Jonah knew God very well.
Yeah.
He did everything that God asked him of until he told him to go to Nineveh.
He felt like they didn't deserve it.
Jonah said, Nineveh?
Yeah. They sinful people. Like,
for what?
Yeah.
And then Jonah ran, trying to run away from God, from the assignment that God called him on. And then most times we don't realize that us running away or us not wanting to fulfill the call God has called us on can affect other people that surround us.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah got on a boat with other people and brought a storm to them.
Mm-hmm.
That storm didn't go away until they threw him off the boat.
Yeah.
Get him out of here. Mm-hmm. He's welling. He's running for... He's running away from God. I'm not.
Yeah.
Get him away from me.
He's dangerous. Yeah. Public enemy,
get
boy.
Get him off the streets immediately.
And menace.
Bro, it's so important for us to walk in what God has called us to do because we're not only affecting ourselves, but we're affecting people that surround us and we're affecting people that's called to us.
Yeah.
People we can't even see that or that we know is meant to, their lives are meant to be changed by our voices or by our actions or by our lifestyle.
Yeah.
We have to be able to have the courage to walk in what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm. I want to read this verse. It's blessed me. Like, we was reading it before we got on. The scripture that came to my mind, and I didn't know what scripture it was. I knew the scripture, but I didn't know what book it was from. So CL let me look it up on his iPad.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but I'm going to read it from the Message version. I'm reading verses 26 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, Message version. This thing is crazy. It says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get away with blowing your own horn before God. So first and foremost, let's stop right there. He's basically saying nobody can boast.
Yeah.
None of us was perfect coming into the life of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
None of us was equipped. None of us had it all. None of us was adequate enough. Mm-hmm. So that's why, first and foremost, you can't boast on yourself. And that's why pride is so evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's why pride comes before the fall. That's why God urges us not to be prideful, because God's looking at you like, hold on, slow your roll.
Who are you?
You couldn't have, like, I don't care how much money you make. You could be on the Forbes list. I don't care how many accolades, how many degrees you have. You have not arrived. Everything you do, everything you accomplish is by the grace of God. God can easily take this podcast and this is us.
For sure.
We speak so good. Ron sets these cameras up the best. Ron is just the best. Like, I'm the best speaker. You know what I'm saying? See, I'm the best podcast. No.
Not at all.
Paul said, I boast on my weaknesses. No, we're successful because we know, no, this is not us.
I promise you it's not
this
us.
This is not us.
All God.
This is weakness. Like, this is flesh with God getting the glory. God putting his super on our natural, right? So again, it says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential. Not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get away with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes only from God by way of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. What does that mean? If you're going to brag, brag on God.
Yeah.
If you're going to boast,
every time,
boast on God. And now we have the context of when Paul says, I boast only on my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I boast on my insecurities, because when I'm weak, he's made strong.
Yeah.
Like,
he gets the glory.
I'm a fragile vessel. I'm a weakened vessel. I'm a sinful vessel.
Yeah.
That's only being used by God. I'm only operating in this by the grace of God. I'm not equipped. I never am. And that's why I have to tap into God every day, because he's the only one that equips me every single day. But that scripture was for whoever needed that. Like, bro, God can use you. Nothing you go through, nothing you've been through, nothing you're struggling with even right now is bigger than who God is.
Nothing at all.
And you probably be like, well, you don't know my story. I don't have to know.
The Bible knows your story. Let me tell you something.
And I know the author.
Come on now.
Come on now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to know your story. All of us have
stories. God knows your story.
All of us have a story.
He knows exactly what your book look like.
All of us have a past. All of us have skeletons in our closet, like CL said. All of us have stuff that we don't want people to know about. Mm-hmm. All of us have lives. We have events and things that we used to do that we would not want nobody to know about.
Yeah.
And God can handle all of it. He can handle all of it. So that's all I got.
Crazy episode.
It was.
That was good. And that just gave me even more revelation, because it's like, bro, like, God can literally use anybody.
Yeah.
To the richest man, to the homeless man. Like,
yeah.
To the principal, to the janitor.
Yeah.
Like,
I think we definitely, like, to help you, like, on a practical sense, to help you with, like, fully walking in the call of God, and you just feel like you're not confident enough, I definitely say pray more. The reason I say pray more is because, again, I'm realizing that not praying is prideful.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you don't need God.
Yeah, and that's what you're communicating to him. Mm-hmm. Prayer is a divine, like, it's an invitation for God to really come into our situations, come into our life.
Bring heaven to earth.
Like, yes, bringing heaven to earth, like, for God to intervene. And, like, when we don't pray, it's saying we don't need God. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times the fear and different things that you may be facing about not starting something is because you have too much confidence in yourself, or you keep looking at yourself. The more you tap into God, the more you start reading your word, the more you start praying, you will start to grow confidence in God. It's only that confidence in God that makes you confident enough to walk it out. I'm going to say this again. Well, I'm going to say this is my first time saying it. You would never be confident enough to go start.
Ever.
You would never be ready to go start the business. You would never be ready to start the podcast. You would never be ready to start doing Bible study. You would never be ready to start making those Christian videos.
You would never be all the way clean.
You would never be all the way clean. Like, bro, there is no ready. I'm telling you right now, there is no ready. There is no confidence in yourself. You would never be. Distractions will keep coming. You will keep falling to sin. No, go at the pace of God. I'm learning to go at the pace of God's grace for my life, because you don't want to miss grace
at all.
Two, thank you, Holy Spirit. You don't want to miss grace, because stepping out on something, because what happens is when God calls you to do something, he gives you the grace for that something. If CL was to procrastinate, and again, I want to say this as well on the other side of this, God is gracious enough that even when we do procrastinate, there are some times that he gives us more time. Thanks. But you have to understand your timing. I know I'm at a point in my life where windows of opportunity are small, to where I'm at a point, and again, this is my walk with Christ, I'm at a point in my Christian walk that God's looking at me like, no, like, you know better. Like,
come on,
like, to be dragging your feet to where if you don't step up to the plate, I'm going to let this pass you by.
Put your feet up.
You know what I'm saying? And so you want to move at the pace of grace. Mm-hmm. That's so. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You want to move at the pace of grace, because when you don't walk in the grace, you miss the anointing part. Mm-hmm. So you may be doing something, but the anointing's not on it, and that's why a lot of people fail, because they're doing something that God called them to do, but in the wrong timing that He called them to do it in. So it was like, okay, God, where are you at? And God's like, I called you to do that last year. The grace was in last year.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
That's facts.
The super on your natural was last year. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind as well, that you want to be at, like, in the pace of grace. Like, the only way we're able to flourish, and the only way this podcast is able to flourish, is not because of us. It's not because anything that we do. This is all new to us, but it's the grace of God on us. So, yeah.
Talking good, my boy. Listen, well, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. See some good episode.
Yeah, great episode.
So, yeah, for the reminder for y'all that are watching, your trauma, your past, I don't care what you did, your sin, your slip-ups, the damage of what has happened to you, they're still valuing you. God can still use you. Mm-hmm. God can use you no matter what the circumstance may be.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to be used.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can self-disqualify yourself.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
So I need y'all to lock in, be ready to be qualified along the way, because God's going to add on everything he needs to add on when he calls you to it. But you have to be a willing vessel. You have to be able to be at his feet and be willing to deny your flesh and put your pride to the side and let God cook. Let him cook,
let
bro.
Let him cook.
Let him cook. He can't get the glory. Like, bro, he can't get the... Well, he's going to get the glory regardless.
Yeah.
But if you, like, not trying to be used, bro, he's going to find someone else.
Yeah.
But he's choosing you for a reason. You're perfectly imperfect. Stop worrying about your insecurity. Stop worrying about different things that you can't control. He made you that way for a reason. Let him use you for that.
And on the other side of that, as far as, like, sin goes and different things where, like how we said, like, we wasn't all together yet.
Yeah.
God will deal with that. Like, mm-hmm. I mean what I say when I say, like, the more you just tap into God, he will just remove the taste for certain things.
Yes,
like, not he will handle that. So, because I know, I transparently know, we're not talking from a state of this is not somewhere, or this is not something that we haven't experienced.
No,
but we're talking from, like, no, we experienced this. Yes, we've been through this firsthand. Where you feel like, I have too much sin. I have too much baggage right now. I have too much weight. And it's like, okay, God, kind of what we're saying is like, okay, God, how am I going to cut all of this off by tomorrow?
Yeah.
God said, no, just bring it to me. Like, bring it to me.
You worry about the wrong thing.
Bring it to me, and I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cut off the weight and the sin that so easily trips you up from running the race that I've set before you, right? So, yeah, just bring it to him, and he knows.
And also, jot down in the comments what it is that you are struggling with.
Yeah.
And we, for those that are going through the comments, help someone out.
Yeah.
Encourage them. Let them know that they can still be used by God, because someone that may be watching this right now that don't feel qualified or don't feel like they can be used, or they feel like what they did was so bad that God won't forgive them for what they're doing.
Yeah.
God has forgiven you.
Yeah.
Repent and do it with a pure heart and let God, bro, just let God cook, bro.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we appreciate y'all as always. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe, share with somebody. If you want to join our community, join our GroupMe link and the link in the bio. And as always, it's always more purpose. You just have to find yours.
Yes, sir.
We love y'all. Y'all be safe.
Love.